there's been a shifting. There's a changing right now. And I want us to change our hearts and our minds and say, okay, this is it. We're taking 2020 back. We're taking 2020 back. We have followed God into our prayer closet, into our prayer time. We have communed with Him. We have pressed in, and we have been empowered and enriched in His presence. And now He says it's time, believers, it's time, Christians, to come out of the prayer closet and begin to make your declaration. Begin to lay hold. But He wants the heaviness, He wants discouragement broken from His people. He wants us to be able to be free. So ministers, if you see someone that God puts on your heart, people in the body, if God puts one of these people in your heart and you want to come pray with them, pray for them, pray by them, whatever. But those of you who have come forward, I just encourage you to lift your hands and look to the Lord. And Father, we thank You right now. Father, we decree over Your people, over the people in this house, those that have come forward. Father, those that are watching, if you're watching on live stream, if you're watching this later, just lift your hands where you are and say, God, I want some of that too. I need some of that too, because the God of encouragement is always available wherever you are, of strengthening, of hope, of joy. Father, I thank You. I thank You right now that You're ministering to Your people. Father, that yokes are destroyed because of Your anointing. Father, that the eyes of our understanding is open to see the hope and the plans that You have for us. Father, we are not cast down. We are not defeated. And we are watching You stir and change things for our behalf, Father, for our betterment. And Father, though everything around us is shaking, we are thankful today that we have received the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. And we say we will not be shaken. We will not allow it any longer. And I command a spirit of heaviness and oppression to cease and desist in the hearts of Your people, Father. I say that it must stop and it must go right now. And I release joy. Father, I release the joy of the Lord. I release the ability to dream. I release the hope that You have. Father, I release Your joy to rise up on the inside of Your people. Father, as we put on the garment of praise and we take off the spirit of heaviness, Father, we rejoice in what You have promised and what You have said that we will do. And Father, we thank You that our eyes are open to see, Father, that abundance is still before us. Father, that it is not time for our country to tank. It is not the end times yet. It is not time for us to just shrug our shoulders and say, well, I guess it has to be this way. Father, we are rising up. We are rising up, Father, because we are the hope that other people need. And if we are hopeless, Father, then what can the world do? So, Father, I ask You to resurrect hope within us, to resurrect vision within us, to resurrect the understanding of our importance and our seizing our victory. Father, the importance of our rising up, because we are the hope, we are the life, we are the word that Your world needs to see and hear to come to You. So, Father, we refuse to succumb to hopelessness. We refuse to believe that this is it, it's over, and it's all going downhill. Father, we refuse to accept it. And we lay hold of Your encouragement this morning. We lay hold of the balm of Gilead, Father, the oil and the wine of Your Holy Spirit that brings comfort, that says, no, 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 it is not time to hang your head, but arise and shine, for Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It is time to shine with His light, to know His hope, to know His peace, and to be that in the earth. Ora sabrandela ravandro boko broto sotarete e rabatidre te veja babra de didre te vebrata sa la robora che la rababra te seta robota e robo brota seta la rababa robo brota de drete se e rodora. Thank you. business to do this morning. It's not going to take very long, but it's something that God put very strongly in my spirit last night. We went through some of these things last night, and we're going to do it again this morning. Thank you, Father. He said it's time to take 2020 back. And he said it's time to begin to decree and to speak into the earth what God has already said, what he has decreed would be. He said it is time for us to begin to use our words and to decree and to say these things. I have noticed on social media and different places that I've looked, I've even seen believers begin to succumb and say, well, I can't believe what's happened to my nation. I can't believe how bad it looks. I can't believe how awful it is. And that's not our place. We can look at those things and we may observe those things, but our place is to say, we are one nation under God. We are a nation who reveres and reverences the Most High God. We are a nation of abundance and blessings with godly ideals. We are a nation of peace and order. We need to begin to say these things. So I encourage you, there are words given by Brother Damon. It was in April. I don't remember the exact dates. I think there was a Sunday and a Wednesday. The bottom line of the two of them was speak life. Speak life. Speak life. You have to use your voice and speak life. So I encourage you, whatever arena you are in, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your home, whether it's social media, if you've got a blog, if you've got people whose lives you speak into, encourage them. Begin to speak life. It is our voice that is the hope. We are his voice in the earth. We are the ones. If we do not speak life, who will? If we do not rise up, who will? And God said, it is not time for the end times yet. It is upon us, and it is close, but the enemy has desired to hasten it in order, listen to this, in order to take the lives of those who have been destined for salvation in the next great awakening. He wants to see them taken out in the riots. He wants to see them taken out with COVID. He wants to see them taken out with hopelessness and fear. And the enemy is trying to hasten that process. And God said, it's not time yet. But where the enemy has come in, the Spirit of the Lord wants to, like a flood, raise up a standard against that. But who is that standard? Do we sit home and watch TV and hope a big gold wave is going to roll through somewhere? God uses us in the earth. He has chosen to use us in the earth. Let me share one little thing. I've been prophesying for quite a while. It's been spoken over this body and over the body of Christ that the dry bones are rising up and coming together, sinew, flesh, and life in their lungs, okay? Understand that those dry bones that are coming together, that's the people of God. That's the body of Christ. He said we need to assemble together. What's the sinew? That's every joint that supplies. Just because you walk in doesn't mean that you have come together. You need to assemble yourself. You need to join yourself to the body of Christ so that you can function, because there are things we need to do. What is the flesh? What does it mean for flesh to come upon us? God said this to me last night. I'd never seen it. He said, that is your authority in the earth. See, you got to have an earth suit in the earth in order to work in the earth. That's why Jesus had to become flesh, because he's given flesh authority in the earth. So when we come together and understand our authority, and then we prophesy, he said, prophesy the breath of life, the wind of God to blow and to fill your lungs. That is the anointing and the equipping. So that everything we've come together to do, we do by his power, not in our own strength. I need you to get excited about this morning. I need you to get excited about this, because God is changing things and he's doing things differently. So I'm going to call some people down front. Tina, Sister Vitina, if you would come, just y'all can just stand down here in any order. It doesn't matter. Sister Anitra, if you would come down here, please. I don't think we're going to need ushers. I don't think anybody's going to fall out, but you never know. Miss Jerry, Brother Demetrius, and Brother Damon, If you guys would just come and face the congregation, just stand down here in a line. I'm giving you each an assignment, and they're numbered so that you know who's first and who's second and who's third and all that good stuff, so that we have order. Amen. God is a God of order. Demetrius and Brother Damon. And I want y'all, what you're going to do, I'm going to go last. I'm going to hand, starting with Sister Tina, I'm going to hand you the mic, and I want you to do what it says on there. You can elaborate, you can paraphrase, you can enlarge on it. But the first thing we're going to do is cast down the works of darkness. We're going to use our words, and then we're going to call forth the work of life. And I want everybody to stand up, because we're not going to watch and we're not going to listen. We're going to participate, okay? We're going to participate with these people as they are speaking into the earth. And God said this is not a one and done thing. Well, we cast this down and that's it. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Every day we need to be speaking life, speaking life, speaking life, speaking death to the powers of darkness, speaking confusion in their ranks and calling forth what God wants to do. It's an everyday thing, because this is it. This is everything. God said, this is everything right here, right now. We stand up and we take it back, or we lose it all, or we don't get to participate in the process for those who did stand. All right? Do you understand the importance of what we're doing here? And this is exciting. This is exciting because God is turning things around. God is changing things. We need to be encouraged. We see wickedness increasing. That's because they're worried, because they understand that their time is short. All right, are you ready?
Father God, we thank you for your authority. And right now, because of the authority we have through the blood of your Son and our Redeemer, we take authority over spirits of lawlessness, anarchy, confusion, and murder. You will stop, you will cease, you will desist, and you will go forth no more. We call your authority null and void of effect. You have no place in our nation. You have no place in our state. You have no place in our city. You have no place in this world. We bind you because you are bound in heaven, and we loose the Spirit of God over you to hold you back, to keep you from doing any more harm. You will stop. You will cease right now, this day. You are broken. Broken and destroying. Father God, we call forth the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We know that order, godliness, and light shines in the darkness. We thank you that the eyes of understanding are open to see your truth, and that your love flows through. Believers' light shine forth brighter than ever before, Father God. Your spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of God goes forth. Your order, your godliness, your light goes forth, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Everybody repeat after me. I cast down COVID-19. I cast down pandemic. I cast down spirit of fear in the earth. Father, 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 we thank you. Yes, your authority in us and through us. COVID-19, pandemic, fear, you have no place, no place. Over you is the blood banner. Price has already been paid. The price has already been paid. And to that end, we say victory, victory, victory. No place, sickness, you have no place. We rise up right now, and with our voices, we say no, with your mouth, say no, no more sickness. sickness, no more disease. We call forth resurrection life. We call forth health, the same resurrection life that was bestowed on us through Yeshua. It is in us and through us. You are resurrection life. You are resurrection life. You are resurrection life. Wherever you go, wherever you tread, you take resurrection life with you. Where you are, life is. We are resurrection life pods. Wherever you go, life is. God is with you. Health is mine now. Health is ours now. Hallelujah. Glory. Who's number three?
We cast down in the church apathy, lethargy, weariness, hopelessness. We cast it down. We cast it down in the ministers, in the leadership, in the body of Christ. We cast down in the believers lethargy, apathy, weariness, hopelessness. Receive the life of God into your spirit. We say by the Spirit of God, be infused with the strength of God. Be infused with the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Be infused with the life of God. We say to those dry bones, live! Rise up and live. Rise up and live. We call forth vision, life, zeal, strength, understanding of the times, rising up. We are not called to sit down. We are called to rise up in the power and the authority of the Most High God. We are called to rise up. We are those that speak life. We are not those that speak death. We don't speak what we see. We speak what the Father says. We don't speak what we see. We speak what the Father says. Our mouths are willing vessels. Our tongues are yielded to your spirit. Whatever you say, God, that's what we say. Whatever you say, God, that's what we say. We turn off distractions. We turn off distractions. We listen to your spirit and we speak as with the oracles of God. We have the life of God on the inside of us. The zeal of God, the vision of God is on the inside of us as believers.
Hallelujah. We exalt your name, Lord. We exalt and bless you, sir. And to all creation, we know you're listening to us. Our God has created you and he has given us authority. So hurricanes, we speak to you now. Rains, we speak to you now. Winds, atmospheric conditions, we speak to you now. Hurricanes, you must cease. You must desist. You have to stop right now. The authority of our King, our Lord, through our mouths, commands you to do so. You have to dissipate. You cannot bring destruction to our shores. You cannot do that. We will not allow that. You are cursed and broken. We declare right now, no damage. We declare no floods. We declare no harm, no loss of property. We speak against you. You must listen. You are dissipated and gone. And we rejoice in our God who has brought us into this place of authority. Hallelujah, that we can speak to winds and waves and they listen to us. They listen to our words. Thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Right now, we commission our angels. Father, we thank you that you have given the angels, Father, charge to minister on behalf of all of those who are servants of salvation. And right now, we commission our angels, go forth and destroy every work of darkness in the earth. We commission you to go forth and destroy every work of darkness in the earth. Father God, right now we ask that your angels, right now we commission them to minister to the saints, to bring encouragement, to bring strength, to bring life where there has been death, where there has been defeat, where there has been loss. We minister to the saints and command our angels to minister life to the body of Christ, to infuse them with faith and strength and understanding in the knowledge of who we are in the anointed Redeemer. Father God, right now we speak to our angels and we commission them to bring order, the order of God in every realm of life in the earth, in our nation, in our government, in our churches, in our home, in our people. We commission them to bring forth order, the order of the kingdom of God. We speak to confusion and say no more. We speak to disarray and we say no more. We speak to confusion and lawlessness and everything that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and we say no more. Lord God, we say order. Order is loosed in the earth, in your church, and in every realm of life and aspect of existence in this planet, Father God. Your kingdom come, your will shall be done in the earth even as it is in heaven, Father God. We decree it, we loose it, and Father, we celebrate you that all of these things are accomplished by the "it is written" word of Yeshua HaMashiach. And all God's people start rejoicing and know that it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are free, we are loosed, we celebrate, we honor you, Father God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength and we can rest in you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to your name.
Oh, we praise you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. We're not done. We give you glory and honor and praise. Father, I thank you that it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of salvation. And so, Father, we speak to the earth right now. Father, we speak a preservation of every soul, Father, that does not know you, that has not humbled their heart, Father, that has not seen the light. Father, we call forth their salvation. And Father, we decree as the body of Christ that they are preserved, that they are kept alive until their divine appointment with salvation, till their day of salvation. Father, till the word comes to them, the enemy will not take them out before their time. Father, through riots, through murder, through COVID, through pandemic, sickness, anything, Father, we say that this earth, Father, we say that it is preserved unto its day of salvation. Father, these people are kept until they hear the word. And Father, so that the word may go forth, we thank you that we have seen the dry bones rising up and coming together. Father, assemble us in unity. The sinew is coming upon us, Father, causing every joint to supply. We are coming together as the body of Christ. Father, flesh is upon us because you have assigned us dominion as flesh people, spirits covered in flesh in the earth. And I say that we rise in our authority as the body of Christ. Father, deception is falling off of the eyes of your people to understand that we are the one with the answers. We are the one that need to run into the middle of the fray and speak life and not hide in our homes and wait till it passes over, but to step into the street, to step into the marketplace and to begin to decree life. So, Father, we prophesy right now, Father, in this body, in this city, in this state, this nation, and in the earth, that the wind of God is blowing. We prophesy to the winds to blow and to fill the body of Christ with the breath of God, with the anointing, the unction to function, the equipping. Father, we loose it into the earth and we say, body of Christ, be filled with the breath of God. Be filled with divine ability. Be filled with boldness and be filled with life. Be filled with life. And Father, we give you thanks and praise. We give you thanks and praise that it is done. Father, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Come on now. Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Somebody give glory to Jesus right now. Father, we just want to thank you for just a great God that you are. Father, we just want to thank you for this position that we are taking in this nation in the name of Jesus, Father, that every corner that the enemy thought he was taking over, we're taking it back. Now, I want you to understand something. There's something that we see when we pray in the spirit, but when you're praying with your flesh, you won't see it. Now, when you pray in the spirit, God will open things to you to see the things that are unseen. But we only see the physical. When we see the wrong in the world, we misunderstand that it started in the spirit, because God created the spirit before he created the physical. He said it to be, and it became what it is right now. I want you to see that everything that you're seeing right now, there's a force behind it. There's a force behind it that created it. Now, when we pray, I want you to understand that when we pray, we put up a fight. When we pray, we claim what is ours. When we pray, we claim what is for us. In the name of Jesus, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this as you pray, that your prayer during the day puts up a fight at night when the enemy's awake and he thinks he's roaming around the world and he's going to take territory. Because I want you to understand this. When we're asleep, the dark forces awaken. If the hours that have been said, and we know that, and when they go out, I want you to see this. I want you to understand why we're praying, and I want you to understand why our pastors always ask us to come and pray together, is that the enemy tries to take territory. He brings curses, like literally every night he gets up and he prays his prayer to curse people. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Now, when we pray as believers, when we pray and we stand and we take territory, that is taking back what God has given us. Now, if you don't pray, if you're a believer that does not pray, that does not put up a fight, that does not stand up, that does not do these things, I promise you, there come a time where you're going to drown in the name of Jesus. But that's not us. That's not this church. Now, I want you to think about this, that when you put up a fight, when you pray and you take what's yours, when you pray and take what's yours, you accomplished amazing things. I want you to think about this. Now, I'm going to remind you of something that God put inside. He put it inside of my heart. It's very easy. It's very simple. It's found in John 15. When the Lord was preparing to leave, he reminded his disciples. They said, Lord, where are you going? I mean, we used to get bread when you were around, but you said you're leaving. Now, he went on. Let me see where it is. He went on and he said, something that's really, it blesses me every time when I need to be reminded of the things I need to do. Because a lot of us Christians, we get really familiar with the scriptures. Then they end up just being words. Then we don't practice them. Then we forget them. Now the enemy knows and he sees, he looks around and he's going to find you exactly at that point. Because he's just waiting to get that moment with you. And he'll break your leg. Now, I'm reminded of when he was with his disciples, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. And he said, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Now, remember that there's a law that he said, I only do and say what the Father says and do. Now, when you remain in him, I don't know whose these words are for. But I want you to understand this. He says, if you remain in me, not if you step out, not if you forget, not if you get drowned in corona and you get worried, not if you remain in my truth. Hear the words of the Holy Spirit. Hear the words of God. Because you say it in the spirit, then you'll start seeing it in the physical. If you don't speak it, if you don't say it, if you don't pray it, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. Now, if you're wondering why are they doing what they're doing up in the front when they're praying, us in the back that already understand and see in the spirit, we know what's going on. But if you have been drawn so far back, you won't see a thing. Now, we're going to speak against that. I would like us to just continue praying, because there's something, there was a shift that took place that some of you might not have seen it, but I pray to God that he lets you see it. Because I want you to understand this, that the enemy's out lurking. But when you put up a fight, he won't stand your ground. When you put up a fight, he won't come near you. Now, that's something to give glory to God for. Because if you pray in a God that protects you, no matter what, that's something worth to run to every single day.
Yes, yes. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the understanding of who we are in you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding are open to see that we are in you. We are not in or of the world, but we are in you, Father, empowered in you, strengthened in you, divinely able in you to speak life and to change any and every situation. Father, awaken your people in our spirit, Father. Let us have ears to hear and eyes to see, so that where you say go, we go. When you say stand, we stand. When you say pray, we pray. And when you say praise, we praise. And we watch you fight the battles, Lord, and we continue on taking ground in victory because of you, because of your word, your anointing, and your divine protection. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I've been working on listening to God and doing what he tells me to do. So this is kind of new for me. But so God was speaking to me when we were praising. And he said, get ready for a shaking in the earth. He said, I'm sending an earthquake of revival. And one of the words he told me was overflow. And he just kept saying that. And he said, my people will rise up. And he said, now. And then he showed me the picture that during Mac that my mom saw. Of the fivefold ministry rising the people up. It was kind of like a Fantasia thing. He showed me that picture, and then two more words. He said, restoration, and he said, Jericho.
Sweetheart, I don't know if you realize how prophetic that was, because we talked about those very things last night in prayer. There was a prophet who ministers in a lot of different places, and he said the Lord showed him three angels coming upon the nation. And he said, God, what are they? And he said, they are revolution, reformation, and restoration. And they began to step foot on the earth, coming up out of the Atlantic Ocean. And he just saw, as it were, the water that was running off of them was pouring across the nation as they walked across. And on Friday night, they said, there's a shaking coming at this prayer meeting. There's a shaking coming, and God is doing things. And this prophet shared with his friend, I saw the angel, and when he stepped out, the first place that he stepped in the nation was North Carolina. And 2 days later, an earthquake shook North Carolina. I don't think it's a coincidence, folks. The shift has taken place. Things are changing in our nation and in the earth. Stuff is happening right now, and we are participating in it. We are participating in that restoration. Hallelujah.
I just want to encourage you, and then I'm going to pray for you. Based on what the word Sienna said, I heard Jericho walls are falling down. And that's the walls in your lives. The things that have seemed like they're not coming down, those things that seem like they've risen up, they are falling down this night, this day. They are falling down. What happened when the children of Israel walked around Jericho and God told them to stop and praise? What did they do? They praised, and then those walls fell, and they were able to run into what God already provided for them. God is doing that for you. God has that for you. He has your blessing. He has those gifts inside of you. Those things that you wanted, those things that he showed you, they're on the other side of that wall and they're falling. thing. Lord God, I lift up every person in this body. I lift up their dreams. I thank you, Father God, that those walls, those things that seemed impossible are falling down right now through our praise, through the praise that you've given us, Father God. I thank you that those walls are falling down.
Abundance is loosed. All right. So what did they do before the walls began to fall? What did they do? They praised. They praised the Lord. Let's praise. Yeah, I'm not gonna stop. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You're worthy.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm like you. I don't know. Praise God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Just a few things I want to. Sister Jerry. I thought so. Just a few things I want to share. Next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday morning.
Next Sunday morning.
Bill and Renee Morris are going to be with us. Amen. We're just going to turn them loose, and it's going to be a great, great time of worship with them next Sunday morning, so don't miss it. Then, in September, on the 12th, which is a Saturday, so probably in the morning sometime, and then Sunday, the 13th, in the morning, Brother Joel will be with us. Amen. What to say? No familiarity. Amen. So it's going to be a great time as he comes and blesses and ministers to us. So mark your calendars for those next couple of things that are coming up. Of course, prayer on Tuesdays and 6:30, and then Brother Rob's communion that they have on Zoom at 6:15 for the men, and then evening prayer on Saturday at 7. Amen. At this time, Brother Rob is coming to present on behalf of the pastoral covering team.
Good morning, church family. I am here on behalf of the pastoral covering team and on behalf of you, the church body, to honor a very special couple, John and Anitra Hendricks. If y'all can come up here. It is their 20th anniversary. So I'll read a couple of scriptures. This one probably applies to John. It says, Amplified, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, death or life. He who finds a true wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You didn't know those two scriptures were together, probably. That was Proverbs 18, 21, and 22. And I know John spoke his wife into existence because this brother was praying to get married before the rapture. So he's like, I don't want to go out a single brother for the rapture. So he prayed, and God gave him a true wife. And in Ephesians 5, it talks about, in Ephesians 5, it talks about as far as husbands and wives. And, you know, marriages, those of you who are married know that marriages, they have seasons. You know, there's different seasons in marriage. This one says, I'll have to get it in context. I'll read this part. For wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For the husband provides leadership for the wife just as Christ provides leadership for his church as a savior and reviver of the body. In the same way the church is devoted to Christ, let wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. And to the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. I'll skip down. It says, husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies, for to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body. This is out of the Passion Translation, but pampers it, serving and satisfying his needs. This is exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies the members of his body. For this reason, a man is to leave his father and mother and lovingly hold to his wife, which I know John loves to do, since the two have become joined as one flesh. Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great and sacred mystery meant to be a vivid example of Christ and his church. So every married man should be gracious to his wife just as he is gracious to himself. And here's the key part. And every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. And that is what Anitra is. Tenderly, especially in this season, she has been tenderly devoted to her husband. So for your anniversary, we have a card signed by the church body. And we have $250. $250 check for you all to enjoy, to have fun. And so, and of course, all of you feel free, of course, these beautiful flowers. And when I was walking around with them, people said, wow, those are gorgeous. So, which they are. So beautiful flowers for you, Anitra. I really appreciate it. And John and Anitra are also godparents to my daughter, Joy, which I very much appreciate that too. So you all, love on them. Feel free to put some of that green in there, the old-fashioned Pentecostal handshake will work. So, you know, that's when you fold it up in your hand and you kind of shake their hand and, you know, all that. So, you know, so anyway, happy anniversary. God bless y'all. We love you.
This is going to be an incredible week for me personally. Our group, Second Journey, group that I'm a part of, we just released our single. The pre-orders went on sale Friday, and then the single actually comes available this Friday. But for Offertory Ignite, they're not going to sing. I'm going to bless the family. You get to see it before anyone else, our music video for the song. So the amazing thing is not that the song is coming out, it's the message in the song. If you get a whole bunch of people in this country start singing about being free, guess what's gonna happen? They're going to get set free in Jesus' name. So once Brother Steve is done with the offertory or with the offering, DJ, you can go ahead and cue those videos for me.
Good morning, church family. I come to give you another opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. The ushers are coming to distribute offering envelopes to those here in the house. If you're not here in the house, they're not going to bring you an envelope. We're going to expect you to do it online. Click on the online sewing button or click on the link in our YouTube video or Facebook feed, and that'll take you to our online giving portal, and you can give that way. I didn't know why I was going here. Even after sitting there and studying it, I still didn't know I was going here. And then Pastor Michelle got up and started talking, and then Sienna got up and started talking. I'm like, oh, I get it. So for the next few assemblies, I'm going to be talking to you about Joseph's life. And I'm going to start in Joseph, talk about where Joseph really gets started, and this is in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock and still with his brothers while he was a youth. He was 17. Okay, Sienna's not quite 17, but God was using him in his youth. I think this chapter should have been called Joseph's 2020, but that's another story. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he'd made him a various colored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. And then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Hello, 2020. And he said, please listen to this dream I have had. And says, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up, and yours and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. And the brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? And so they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. And then he had another dream. Now he couldn't be taught, apparently, because he decided he was going to tell his brothers again. And he says, I have another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related it to his fathers and his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Through all of this, he's obedient to God, and he's obedient to his father. What does his father tell him to do next? Israel tells Joseph, are your brothers not pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And Joseph said, I will go. And then he said, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me. And so he sent them to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Verse 18. And when the brothers saw him from a distance, they came close to him, and they plotted against him and to put him to death. And they said, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. And let us see what will become of his dreams then. Reuben heard this, and he cried out for his brother's life. Says, no, let's not kill him. Let's not kill him. And Judah stepped in and says, okay, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Instead, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother in our own field, in our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. And so they pulled him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, and Pharaoh's officer and the captain of the bodyguard. And we'll pick up Potiphar's story the next time. There's a lot happening here. He was 17. Keep that in mind, because it's going to be important in a couple chapters. He was just a kid, but God was using him, and he was willing to do what he was supposed to do, and honoring his father, doing what his father said to do. And the enemy laid waste to him and set him on what seemed to be a path of destruction. I've seen all the Facebook memes, you know, can I take the YearQuil and just hibernate until 2021? You know, I'm going to stay up until I'm going to see 2021 in just so I can make sure that 2020 leaves. I've seen all of the memes, and 2020 has been real tough. Do you think it's been any tougher on us than it was on Joseph? But yet Joseph stood, and he did what he was supposed to do. He honored his father, and he served God. Will you honor your father and serve your God? This is an opportunity for you to do something physical that has a spiritual aspect to it. If you will honor God here, God will honor you elsewhere. If you want, get ahead of me. Bust out your Bible and start reading. It's a really cool story. I won't be able to go into all of the detail on it, but it's just a really cool story. Read what happened to Joseph. Get ahead of me. It's a great story. And see how God has used him through the trials and tribulations to be a blessing. But if he would not be obedient and honor his father and honor God, he would not be able to be the blessing he was called to be. So if you're giving online, please follow those links, or you can mail a check to P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. And whether you're giving here in the house or you're giving online, release your faith with your giving, and God can return your blessing to you.
Thank you. Father, thank you for the opportunity to honor you in the area of the tithe and offerings, Father. We worship you this morning with them, Lord, and we call them set apart for your will, your plan, and your purpose, Father. Father, we agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open, that your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And as we've given this morning, it's given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. You see to it that we have more than enough to do what you've called us to do in establishing your kingdom in the earth and enjoying all the beauty and splendor that you put here for your kids to enjoy. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Brother Brian, are you still good to go? Okay. You're open? Okay. Well, we'll continue on then. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, we're going to release the kids to go to Kingdom Kids and enjoy their time there and receive. Kids, why don't y'all go ahead and go as we bless you. Father, we just thank you for our children. Thank you for those that you have given us as blessings from you, Father God. And we just speak life to them. We speak health. We speak the joy of the Lord. And we speak understanding and wisdom, even at their early age. Father God, we thank you that your word penetrates their heart and causes life to begin and to flourish in them, Father God, so that they would never, never be alone, that they would never be without you, Father. We thank you for them. We give glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, y'all hang on, because here comes Brother Brian. Receive the word of God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good to see everybody. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. We're blessed. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus picks up in midstream. His disciples have asked him, what will be the sign of the end of the age, and how will we know that your return is imminent? And he begins to mention a number of things. And then he works his way down to verse 12. And while I don't believe Jesus is coming back tomorrow, nor do I want to focus on the end times or the return of Christ right now, what I do want to focus on is the potential ability of lawlessness to make love grow cold. He says in verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, many people's love will grow cold. And if you're not on guard, the lawless deeds of others, if you allow them, can affect you. The lawless deeds of others can create bitterness if you allow it. The mistreatment of you by others can allow your love to grow cold if you let it. And we're determining today that I'm not going to be one of those ones that let it. Right. Right. And there have been situations where husbands have mistreated their wives, whether severely or moderately. where the hearts of wives can grow cold. The hearts of wives can become bitter. There have been scenarios where wives have mistreated their husbands, lawless deeds, where some husbands have allowed their heart to grow cold towards their wives. They're no longer tender and sweet. They're short and complaining. What happened? The love that was once there grew cold due to discontentment. There are times when people go to jail, people go to prison, and just to survive that atmosphere, just to survive what's going on there, some can find their own heart growing cold, growing bitter, more than when they first entered. You have to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And you have to be careful not to allow the misdeeds of others to get on the inside of you. Even when they're behaving unlovely, your heart attitude is, I'm going to love you anyway. Your heart attitude is, even if you won't receive my love, I'm not going to let your misdeeds affect my love walk. I'm not going to walk around bitter from something that was done 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Lawless deeds were done to you. Don't let your love be robbed. Don't let your love grow cold. Some people have said that hurting people hurt other people. Some people are challenged to walk in love and show love because they've been hurt. Lawless deeds. They've been mistreated. And it can be something as small as, well, you're not talking to me. I'm not talking to you. It could be something as small as, you did this to me. All right, I'll remember that. It could be little things. The Bible says that the little foxes spoil can eat away at the vine. And so for a few moments here, let's talk about what love looks like and how it should look in our hearts. Because many people misconstrue love with lust. And there is a difference. There are many different types of love in the Bible that the Bible speaks of. There is eros, which is a romantic type of love. It's the type of love that is experienced by those who are in romantic relationships. Boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives. I want the romance, some ladies say. That's the eros love. There is the love that's called phileo. And it is the love that a friend has towards another friend. It is an affection that you have towards a friend. And because you're my friend, I love you. Because we're friendly, there is an affectionate love there. But what happens when you're not friends anymore? What happens when they're not friendly towards you? Can you still love them? Not if you're solely limited to phileo love. Phileo love stops when the friendship stops. Phileo love stops when friendly activities stop. Well, we were friends, but after this, we ain't friends no more. Phileo love. It was conditional based upon something else. Phileo love only goes so far if it's not underrooted by another love. It's called agape. And agape love, if you look it up in the Greek, it is a wider, broader love than phileo love is. You have to be careful when you're dating and when you get married that you are not limited by eros and phileo only. Because what they look like when you're 24 may not be what they look like when you're 64. The feelings, the affections when you're dating may not always be there after you get married. Many times due to the lawless deeds of one or the other, or both, little and big. But if you are walking in agape, which is a wider, broader type of love, it is a love that's based on a matter of principle. I will love you based on principle. It's based on duty, that no matter who you are, friend or no friend, Jesus said, love your enemies. Phileo love can't do that. Agape love can, because it is not based on friendship. It's based on duty. It's based on principle, no matter who you are. In the verse we just read, Jesus says the love of many will grow cold. Well, which love? If you look it up, it says the agape of many will grow cold. The unconditional love based on duty, based on principle, will grow cold due to lawlessness. Don't allow the lawless deeds of others to steal your agape. Well, Brian, my eros is gone. The romance has seemed to dance on off into the sunset. Well, if your relationship was solely based on eros, you have a problem. Because eros can't survive lawlessness. Eros can't survive misdeeds. If your friendship is solely based on phileo, friendly affection, then what happens when your friend makes a mistake? I don't know if you realize it or not, but people are not perfect. As long as you are dealing with people, I don't care how close you are, I don't care if you're married or not married, as long as you're dealing with folk, there are going to be challenges. That's why when you're dating, you want to make sure that you are focusing on a love that is broader, wider than just how you feel on Friday night. A love that's wider and broader than just the feeling you have in your hickey moshi. Because all the affections and feelings, as wonderful as they are, and they are wonderful, they can be wonderful, They don't survive crisis. People get married full of affection, full of feelings, and have never been introduced to agape love. The love that is based on duty, principle, unconditional. When the minister says, for better or for worse, that is not the time to be thinking about arrows. Because arrows won't survive that. When it says for better or for worse, that's literally what it means. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes, I will love you. That is the God kind of love. For God so agape'd the world that he gave his only son. John chapter 3, verse 16. Agape love gives. If you want to know if that man loves you, preferably before you get married, ask yourself, does he give? Does he give of himself for me and towards me? Or is he a taker? Is everything always about him? Is he trying to get you to do things that are lawless, ungodly, to benefit him? Is he always thinking about himself? Teenagers and dating relationships. If your parents tell you to be home by 10, and that boy is encouraging you to stay out till 12, he is not focused on your well-being. He's focused on his well-being. Because when you get home at 12, your well-being may be in jeopardy. And he just told you how he feels about you. He may have eros, but he does not have agape. He has no duty towards you and for you. There is no principle of love in him towards you. Vice versa, guys, if that lady is doing the same thing, if you want to know whether or not she really loves you, is she solely focused on herself? What can she get out of you? If she is always in your pockets, if she just wants the money, you can go buy that. You're not going into the marriage with a wife. You're going into marriage with something else. Because there's a name for women that pay for it. Or get paid for it. We have to tell the truth about love because the world has confused lust with love. And many people go into marriage never understanding or experiencing agape love, unconditional, based on principle. Eros and phileo are beautiful when they're undergirded by agape. Agape is the vegetables. Eros is dessert. Don't give up the dessert until you've entered into a covenant based on vegetables. You can't live on dessert. Your body will eventually turn on you. But vegetables will keep you in place. Agape love is God's vegetables for relationships, for friendships. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It says I can speak in tongues, which I do, but not speak in tongues in love. I can have a spiritual gift, but not be very loving towards the people I'm ministering it to. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, these are spiritual gifts. There are churches historically who have majored in spiritual gifts, but minored in love. If you don't have agape towards the person that you are ministering that gift to, these verses say, what good is it? If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, well, wait a second. Isn't giving my possessions to the poor and sacrificing my body evidence of love? It may be. It should be. For God, it was. But you can give to the poor with a hidden agenda. And you can give your body to be burned with a hidden agenda. And giving your body to be burned is a one-time event, assuming that you're going to die from it. Sometimes one-time events are more difficult than day-to-day loving, dealing with mess on a daily basis. So it's not what you do, it's why you do it. Ladies, I don't know why I'm talking about dating. Maybe it's for somebody else that's going to watch this. How do you know he loves you? Make sure there's not a hidden agenda behind why he's doing what he's doing. Guys, make sure there's not a hidden agenda behind why she's doing what she's doing. It says that you can do things that on the surface look like they would be love. But if you aren't discerning, Miss Jerry asked me about discerning the spirits last week. I just thought about that, Miss Jerry, for a second. I don't know why, but if you aren't discerning, you can't see motivations. But if you are, you can look beneath the surface and see the true intent of somebody's heart. So then it goes on to tell us what love actually is. This is the day-to-day love. This is focused on how you deal with people, how you treat people. Love is patient. Patience is not getting in the flesh when someone is not going as fast as you want them to go. Literally and figuratively. You're in the checkout line at HEB. There's an 82-year-old lady who has two items. And she has been checking out for 10 minutes. That's where patience kicks in. If you're walking in agape, there's somebody driving in front of you. They have a DV on their license plate. You are in a 55. They are driving 25. You have to be careful that your love does not grow cold due to lawlessness. Well, Brian, what lawlessness are you talking about in that situation? I don't know if you've noticed, but this world has sped up. The days haven't sped up. We still have 24 hours in a day, but people have sped up within the days. In other words, people expect quick things. They want to go fast to get somewhere that they really don't have to get to that fast. They fight to drive past people and get through lights to gain a 2-minute advantage on a 30-minute trip. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Some people have become impatient due to the world around them. Lawlessness. The person with the DV on their license plate is driving 25 in a 55. You like to drive 75 in a 55. Something has got to give. That's a good time to be patient. No, God does not expect you to drive 25 miles per hour the whole trip. But you can wait for a light. You can wait to get around them. There is a way to drive in love. There's a way to grocery shop in love. And here's my thing. If that person has a DV on their license plate, disabled veteran, and I am not disabled, I've got use of all my limbs. There's no telling what that person in that car has been through. I would rather drive 25 miles per hour than be in their situation. So I'll wait. I know at some point in time I'll be 82. But I'm not 82 right now. If that great grandmother moves slow, I will wait. Why? I am grateful I'm not in that position. And if it costs me 15 minutes of my time, so be it. I will get out of the line, put my stuff back, and come back to the grocery store later. I will not diss, well, I shouldn't diss anybody. I will not diss an elderly or disabled person to get somewhere faster. I would rather just be inconvenienced. Patience with others. Having two small children, I have been I've had plenty of opportunities to be patient. Demetrius told me something a long time ago. And you know how some people can tell you something, but until you experience it, it's just not the same. I mean, you appreciate what they're telling you, but it's just, you just can't really get it until you experience it. Every task with a small child, just multiply it by 3 in terms of how much time it takes. Now, we like to move fast. We got the internet, we got social media, we can click, we can swipe. I have had plenty of opportunities to be patient because sometimes my 6-year-old and 4-year-old, they do not care about my timeline. I do not understand how it takes 30 minutes to put on your pajamas. But some children, and my kids are changing, they're growing up, that's what I declare, but we have had moments where they have been skilled at dragging toothbrushing out. There have been moments where they have dragged going to bed out. We start the process at 6. And don't finish till 8:30, that's a problem. But that's changing. But we've had our moments to be patient. And I, as a man of God, well, not even a man of God, I, as a child of God, got to be a man of God to walk in love. Every born-again believer. Have had to catch myself at times. They're just 5. I don't understand. They're just 5. They have moved a little bit slower. Love is patient. Love is kind. It treats others well. It is not jealous. Jealousy is a horrible thing. It prevents you from celebrating with others. When somebody else gets blessed, when somebody else has something good happen to them, can you celebrate with them? Or is there jealousy? Do you walk in jealousy? When you've been waiting to get married, and a friend gets married, and they haven't been waiting as long as you, can you celebrate with them? When someone gets something that you've been believing for, that you wanted, and theirs manifest and yours hasn't, can you celebrate with them? One, just because you love them, and you want to see God's best for them. 2, because you know God is no respecter of persons. And what he has done for one, he will do for me. If I believe, don't quit, and don't throw in the towel. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. Look at me. Look at what I got. Look at what I did. You don't got it like I got it. It does not talk noise when it's playing video games. Man, I am beating you like you stole something. It does not brag or it's not arrogant when it's playing games. dominoes, spades, bidwiz, go fish, Uno. Ooh, I like Uno. We play Uno at youth fellowships. Y'all should see one of our youth fellowships. We working on this verse. But aren't we all works in progress? Yeah, we are. It's not brag. It does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not behave in an unbecoming way, meaning it's not rude. It's not crass. It's not crazy towards others. It doesn't go off on people. It does not seek its own. Selfishness is the antithesis of love, of agape love. It's all about me. What am I going to get out of this? As long as I get mine, we're all good. Selfishness says that what I have to do is more important than what you have to do. In marriages, selfishness says my errands this weekend are more important than your errands. My career, my job is more important than yours. No, love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It says it does not keep record of wrong. Agape love says this. Yeah, I know that's the eighth time that you did that, but who's keeping track? The disciples asked Jesus, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Jesus said, as long as the earth remains, 70 times 7. That's what that is. Because God said, there will be a fence in the earth as long as the earth is here. There will be an opportunity to be offended 70 times 7 as long as the earth is here. So that means as long as you're here on the earth, offense may come your way and you forgive each and every time. Love is, I missed one. Love is not easily provoked. It says it's not provoked. If you look it up in the Greek, it says it's not easily provoked. Love suffers long. Love does not go off on people at the drop of a hat. That's being easily provoked. You cuss somebody out because they stepped on your shoe. I remember when I was growing up, kids would get new shoes and they walked differently because they didn't want people to step on them. And God forbid somebody did. They would lick their fingers, bend down, and immediately wipe it off. It's called the finger wipe. Love is not easily provoked. It's going to take a lot to get to them. If they reacted like that, you must have did something. Because they are not easily provoked. It does not keep record of wrong. We address that. Jesus said, Paul said that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to him, not counting their trespasses against them. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, meaning that whenever you hear about unrighteousness, that's not something that we celebrate through gossip. Oh, did you hear so-and-so fail? I just want to let you know so you can pray for him. I'll be right back. I got to go tell them that so-and-so fell. Did you hear what happened with so-and-so and so-and-so? That was bad. Why are you celebrating, rejoicing in unrighteousness? If it's unrighteousness, Paul said that sometimes things to get to the point where it's even a shame to even speak of what they do in the dark. We don't rejoice in unrighteousness. We rejoice in the truth. So when unrighteousness comes up, and it will, it does, I want to speak about it as little as possible. I want to do what needs to be done to address the situation, but that's it. What I prefer to gossip about is, did you see the blessing that came upon so-and-so? Did you know that so-and-so was out loving other people, reaching other people? Did you know that so-and-so helped so-and-so do this? That's what I want to rejoice in. Not, did you hear about who committed the latest sin? No, that stuff has to be dealt with, yes, but it's not something that we celebrate. Someone was, a child was doing something they shouldn't have been doing and burned their hand. See? Ha ha! I told you that was going to happen. That's what happens when you do that. No. Love covers. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. In high school, whenever a fight broke out, it's amazing how many people ran towards the fight. Did you see that fight? Fight, fight. What is that? It is rejoicing in unrighteousness. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things. Let's talk about that for a minute, then we'll close. Love believes all things. Well, what does that mean? It means that love is ready to believe all things. When it says love believes all things, that's not an admonition to believe ungodly things. It's not an admonition to believe a lie. Love believes all things, so I'll just believe everything I hear. Every wind of doctrine, I'll believe it. Love believes all things. No. The sentiment is that love is ready to believe and leads with that and leads with trust more than suspicion. Love leads with being ready to believe all things. If she told you that's where she was, that's where she was. Why are you suspicious of your wife? If she said, this is what happened, that's what happened. I'm ready to believe that. If he told you this is what he was doing, then that's what your husband was doing. Because you're ready to believe all things. You're ready to trust. And until you prove me wrong, I'm going to lead with trust. I'm going to lead with believing. If you have a friend and your friend says it happened this way, I'm going to lead with saying, if that's the way my friend said it happened, I'm going to trust him that that's the way it happened. Until they give me a reason not to trust that that's the way it happened. But I'm not going to start off in suspicion. It's not love believes all things, meaning everything. If a person regularly lies to you, I'm going to be suspicious. But I'm not going to lead with suspicion when I have no reason to be suspicious. Love is ready to believe all things. Love is ready to trust. There are some men, there are some women who struggle with trust in relationships because of lawlessness in their past that they experience. Their love has become cold because of lawlessness. You have to allow God to walk you out of that so that you can believe all things. So there's not this mistrust in the relationship and the friendship based upon lawlessness in your past. No, you can trust me. I'm not that woman that hurt you. I'm not that man that hurt you. I'm not that friend that hurt you. I'm not that pastor that hurt you. I'm ready to go on. I'm ready to believe all things. I'm not gonna walk into this with suspicion. I'm not gonna lead with that. I'm gonna lead with love. I'm gonna lead with trust. Love believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. If you're walking in love, you're checking a lot of boxes in your life. We've just seen that. That's what that verse means. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, love covers other people's sins, but that verse is, love checks a lot of boxes in the law. Jesus says the law is summed up in this. Love your neighbor. If you're walking in love, you're checking a lot of boxes. If you see how deep love goes, if you see how much love can affect things. What's the message today? Don't allow lawlessness. Don't be one of those many whose love has grown cold. In the body of Christ, in church, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your friendships, don't be one of the many whose love has grown cold because of lawless deeds of others. People around you, the world around you, the way other people are acting, the way other people are behaving, the way people did things and approached you in the past. Don't let that sour your love and make you bitter. Don't let your love grow cold. We need to be vibrant in love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. We need to have vibrant love in the body of Christ, in this house and worldwide. We can't let our love grow cold just because there may be lawlessness going on. No, I'm not like them. I don't behave like them. I don't live like them. I'm going to be patient. And if I miss it, I'm going to get back up and go on. And if I miss it again, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to seek forgiveness, and I'm going to go on. But I'm going to work at becoming a better lover. Not Eros. All right, husbands and wives, I'll let y'all figure that out. But become a better agape lover, an unconditional love, a principled love. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We're done.
Praise God. If it ain't love, it's noise. But we've got love here. And the sound that we make, and we can be pretty loud, is the truth. And it is God's love. Amen? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate you participating and being a part of our family. Everyone that spoke, I feel like it was right on. It was very good. God has met us today. And we're going to continue in that relationship. It's not a one and done situation, as Michelle said. Our declarations, our warfare, if you will, we need to keep at it. Keep at it. We know the enemy hurt us. We know God hurt us. But sometimes the enemy just doesn't lay down. So we're going to hit him again. we'll hit him again and again and again and again and again, because the blood of Jesus prevails. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together in your presence. Thank you, Father, for the leading of your Holy Spirit that has put us in position and of your authority and put us in position of being, of ruling and reigning with your truth, Father God. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that all that we do, all that we decree and all that we declare, we do because of your love, because of what you have placed in us, because of what you have called us to, because you so love the world that you gave, we follow your steps, Father God, in love and in your will, plan, and purpose. We decree these things and we stand on your word. We stand on your spirit, led by your spirit. We thank you for it, Father. Father, bless each one that has participated, each one that is here this morning, Father God, and those watching by live stream, we just speak your blessings on. We thank you, Father God, that you are moving mightily in our midst, and every time we gather, we expect to see your glory. We expect to see and to know you a little bit more, a little bit more. Go deeper and deeper into you, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you keep us in between times. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Well, I call you blessed. I say the Lord has shown his face on you and brings light, health, peace, and joy into your life. That he surrounds you with his divine favor, his love, and his care, and he provides everything that you need because he is our provider. And we lack for no good thing. We come short in no area because God has blessed us and he does not fail. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, and everywhere you go, you bring reconciliation to the will, plan, and purpose of his kingdom and his heart. You are light shining in the darkness, and great is your light. You are blessed. You're loved. Go with God. We will see you on Tuesday night prayer meeting, 6:30, and then Wednesday church, and then all the rest of the stuff. God bless you. We love you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.